Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm in denial. And it don't take no x-ray to see right through my smile. I know.
I'd
be on the go. And it ain't no drink out there that can numb my soul.
No.
All I wanna do is take the chains off. All I wanna do is break the chains off. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is take the chains off. All I wanna do is break the chains off. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is be free. Tell me why. Every time I step outside, I see my people die. Oh, I'm letting you know that it ain't no gun they make that can kill my soul. No.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Sunday, March 5th, 2017. Welcome to the show. Today's show title is Demon Possession. So before I get into the show, let's just do a quick intro. I'm Shamika Tia. I'm from Rocky Face, Georgia. I've been living out here for a couple months now. I am 41 years old. I'm the mother of one male grown 24-year-old son. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm just studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. So get out your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the King James Version. I invite you to study up on the King James Version as well, but whatever version you have for now, it's fine. As I say every show, don't get in the habit of having someone tell you what's in Scripture. Read along as they read, because you may interpret it a different way they do, and vice versa. Before we get started, I'll read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule, give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. So if you keep those 7 rules at the forefront of your mind when studying Scripture or anything that has to do with you brushing up on your knowledge and things that concern God, it is almost impossible to veer off the road called straight. Okay, so I hope everyone had a blessed day and is having a blessed day. This topic, demon possession, is not a topic that people like to talk about these days, and I'm not sure why. It is the most common spiritual battle that we face, and yet no one talks about it, probably because it's the unseen world. I mean, they talk about everything else. There's ghost stories, there's mediums, there's all other things. But no one wants to deal with demon possession. So this is something that has been, a very great part of my life for the last, I'm going to say almost 11 years. It hit my house. It hit people that was very close to me. And it was almost shocking that no one is talking about it, that no one's dealing with it. No one's even teaching about it. And why that is, because if you're a believer, like most believers, and like how I was taught years ago, you know, you don't give attention to the devil. You know, that's what they teach many believers. You don't give attention to the devil. He is powerless. We have authority over him. We have dominion here. He needs us. And that's all true. However, you know, as much as we were taught to ignore the devil, the real question is always, ignoring us. And the answer to that is no. Hell no. He is not ignoring us. So why are we ignoring him? Okay, so with that, let's get into a quick prayer. You always want to, anything that to do with, you know, I'm not going to use the term religion because religion is man-made and fake, but anything that has to do with spirituality, you always want God's leading. You don't want to say the wrong thing. And you always want to be led and have him order the steps and make sure he touches our lips so that we don't, you know, say the incorrect thing and then get embarrassed and have to come back and apologize. And it's definitely great responsibility when you are in a position where you have followers and viewers. You want to make sure that you are not leading them in the wrong direction, because there's punishment involved in that. And I take that very, very seriously. So with that, Father God, thank you so much for this day, the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much for providing us with this platform. Thank you so much for gifting in Brother Muhammad to start this network and have me be a part of it. Thank you so much, Father. Continue to bless him and his family and lead him and guide him so that he may lead us and guide us. Bless everyone on this network. Bless all the viewers that follow week after week with all our shows. I pray that they receive and that the enemy will never come and eat up any seed that we plant show after show, shows in the past and shows going forward in the future, Father God. Touch our lips that we may lead the people as you have instructed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so demon possession. In order to understand demon possession, there are some things that you must understand first. And that's probably why I'm not going to call it false doctrine, because when I speak of false doctrine, I speak of it intentionally. Like there is leaders and pastors intentionally misleading the flock. So I'm not going to say false doctrine, but I'm going to say the reason why that teaching is so common, which is ignore the devil and don't give attention to the devil, is because some people misunderstood certain things. And I'm going to show you exactly what they misunderstood and why no one wants to tackle demon possession. If you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, I'll be reading in Revelation chapter 12 in the King James Version, right in verse 1. Let's just go right to the beginning. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of the heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had placed a, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and had the commandment, and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's it. That is it in a nutshell. That's the who, what, where, when, how, why. That's it right there. Okay? Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. Why? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So why are we being taught to ignore this devil? Why did the church teach us to ignore? Don't give no thought to the devil. Don't pay the devil no mind. Ignore him. Why were we taught that? That's not what this is saying at all. Verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now watch this in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Watch this, which accused them before our God and night. That's all day long we are being accused, and yet we were taught to ignore it. To me, something is very, very wrong with that teaching. And you know what the result of that teaching is? The events that you see going on today. Demon possession ruling and reigning in our earth. Nobody's talking about it. No one's discussing it. No one's fighting it. No one's defeating it. No one knows what it looks like. Nothing. Because we have ignored it as we were taught. Enemy has great wrath and goes to and fro. Okay? Great wrath. Going to and fro because he has but a short time. And what did he do? Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's us. Because it even tells you, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, that's you. That this war is he's making war with us. Those ones. So why are we ignoring someone that day and night is accusing us and day and night making war with us? Why would we ignore something like that? Where in this Bible does it say ignore the devil? If you can give me a scripture that says that. And this is the problem I have with people that teach stuff that's not in scripture. Nowhere in this scripture does it say ignore the devil. It says resist the devil. It never says to ignore him. It never says to ignore him. Nowhere in this book. I haven't found it. So, how is this war being carried out? Let's talk about that for a second. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, I flagged verse 12, but I may want to back it up. Let's just get there first. I wasn't going to read it. Actually, come on, I should have flagged it. I didn't flag it because I wasn't going to read it, the chapter, but I think it's worth visiting for a little bit. I'm trying to show you something. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 6, I flagged verse 12. Let's just go to verse 12. Well, I'll just go straight to 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it even tells you what to do about it. In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because you're not fighting against a human entity, is basically what it's saying in 12. Then verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay? Then it goes on to stand there. You know, it goes on to tell you how to defeat this enemy. Where in here does it say ignore him? Putting on the whole armor of God is not ignoring the devil. That's called gird up your inner war. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is wiles? Methods, plans, schemes, his tactics. It's almost like you're supposed to be prepared in offensive mode, not defensive mode, but yet we're being taught to ignore them. Oh, don't give no thought to the enemy. They taught us don't sing songs. I remember Shirley Caesar has a song called, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. I used to love that song. And then after a while, we heard, again, we were taught, you're not supposed to sing songs to the enemy. It's not like we were singing songs to the devil, declaring and decreeing victory, in other words. We don't even do that anymore. We really didn't do that anymore. So, let's go on to this. Now, if you want to back it up, right when we got here, everyone knows the story of Adam and Eve. Everyone knows the story of Adam and Eve. But I'm still trying to tell you, you cannot understand demon possession if you don't understand what I just said. Or if you don't agree with what it says in Revelations chapter 12, what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12, if you don't understand those scriptures and chapters, you will not understand demon possession. You will not even believe demon possession. You won't think it's possible if you don't at least get those two things down. So that's the problem. That's what's being ignored, what Scripture tells us. This enemy has great wrath. He goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, but you don't believe it. So you either believe the Bible or you don't. And my question is, which Bible are you reading that says ignore this devil? Bible that says that if you don't believe in all this wickedness and stuff like that, that it would just skip over you and your family. Which Bible said that? Not one, well, at least not the Holy Bibles. You can read a couple things and tell you something else, I'm sure. That's why the world is in the state it's in. That doesn't make it true. This Bible says he has great wrath and he going to and fro. Okay? And he did not disappoint as soon as Adam and Eve got here. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to show you what the problem is before we get into Genesis chapter 3. This is what the problem is. We've read and was taught in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth." That is all true. That's 100% true. However, when you keep reading, you'll see what happened. Genesis chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," remember, God told them, don't eat of the tree, and in a day they do, they would die. So then in chapter 3, verse 1, "And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth knoweth that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat," etc., etc. So they both ate, and this is the part that the believers missed. When you keep going and you get to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. "In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son." This is the part that was missed. "In his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, etc., etc. That little that was missed. All day long, people are teaching, we're in God's image, we're in God's image. That is not true. We are in Adam's image. We are in Adam's image. And it's not my opinion. It's right there. And in verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth." And as you read along, you get to see the pollution, continuous pollution in the human race because of it, eating, and because of them, their traits changing. Immediately, the bloodline was poisoned. The only two human beings on the face of this earth that have ever been in God's image was Adam and Eve. You must understand that. And that's why people have a hard time accepting the demon possession. Because they're thinking, well, I'm in God's image, and God is in me, so how could I be possessed? Or how can possession be real? I don't believe that, is what they say. Why? There is some great details in Scripture they have left out. They definitely left out Revelation chapter 12. They definitely left out the warning that God gave us in Ephesians chapter 6, telling us who's our enemy. You don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities, rulers of darkness, telling us about rulers of darkness and all the spiritual wickedness. Why don't we believe it? You can't say you're a child of God, but you don't believe the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is our human manual. This is the basic instructions before leaving Earth. So why are you ignoring the most great thing that troubles us every single day, all day, making war with us, having great wrath with us? going to and fro accusing us? Why aren't we paying attention? Why aren't we armored up? Why aren't we acting like we're in a battle? Because we are all day long. All day, every day is a battle. Because you can't see it? Then it means it's not there. We were told we will not be able to see it. He wouldn't tell us that we're wrestling against principalities and spiritual wickedness if we could see it. He's telling us what we're wrestling with and where the war is coming from. Why are we ignoring that language? How could we ignore that language? You don't live it. You don't feel accused. You don't feel like we're in the back. You can darn sure see it. If you're telling me you can't tell we are in a spiritual battle, then something is very wrong with you. They're singing about it. They're rapping about it. They're highlighting about it. If you're telling me, they're not even hiding it anymore. They throwing up these demonic symbols. Every time somebody take a picture, there's a hand symbol representing the devil. Why is that? Because you ignored it. Because your grandmother told your great-grandmother, told your great-great-great-grandmother, told your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great. It got passed down that you should not, and when you see people throwing up the deuce sign and throwing up the four, and all these, you was taught that means I love you, the four, you was told that means I love you, but it's really horns. So all these hand gestures and signs that you see, you just jump on a bandwagon and you do it. Because why? You don't think spiritual wickedness in high places is real. You don't believe it. Oh, that ain't true. Nobody can possess your body. That ain't true. Ain't no such thing as that. Then you are not, then that means you don't believe in the Bible. But God called unbelief evil. That alone is evil. If you say you don't believe in demon possession, that's evil. Disbelief is evil. We got to wake up here. We got to wake up here. So let's go into this a little bit more about what's actually going on. And hopefully by the end of the show, we'll have the correct information and be on the offensive and not the defensive at all times. Because if somebody's going to and fro, I think it's safe to say there's certain preparations that need to be made all day long. If somebody is in war with you all day long, that's like somebody telling you, listen, I seen somebody sitting at the corner of your house with a mask on. I think they planning on robbing your house. Would you ignore that? Or would you go out, get a gun, maybe get a dog, maybe get some extra locks on your door, some bars on the window? If you walk down the streets of certain neighborhoods, there's bars on the downstairs window. Why is that? They're in offensive mode. No one is going to climb through my window and get in this house and attack me. Why don't we treat the spiritual wickedness the same way? You don't wait for somebody to get in your house to try to get them out of your house. You prevent them from getting in. That's what alarms are for. Guns is if they get in. Why not prevent it? If you can. If you can. Why not? Why wouldn't you try at least? I don't know about you, but I do not want to be woken up in the middle of the night because somebody had gotten in my house. Go to Matthew Chapter 4. Let's start in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were what? Taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them, both from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Why do you keep saying demon possession is not real? Demon possession doesn't exist. Oh, that was only in the Old Testament. But this is New Testament I just read. Let me read it again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. A lot of things can be taken from that verse. What should you have seen? That you can be healed from demon possession. Demon possession requires healing, not ignoring. On that language, it says the last part of it, and he healed them. It's right up there with sickness. It's in the same category as sickness, and it needs healing. So why are we ignoring it? Why are we ignoring it? I don't know. I really don't. All throughout, Scripture speaks about familiar spirits. Remember when God said a few times in Old Testament, suffer not a witch to live? Witches and warlocks are people that communicated with these demons and devils by way of acting like they were your dead relatives. And what did he say to do about it? Kill them. He didn't say ignore them. He didn't say stay away from them. You were supposed to kill them. Seriousness, that's how serious this was. They would go hiding and didn't come out until the nighttime. Actually, they still do that. You're not paying attention. They still go hiding and come out at nighttime. That's their hour, the witching hour. Why do you think they call it that? That's why. This stuff is very, very real. Everyone is ignoring it. I don't know why. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Really, really quick. God's going to tell us to kill somebody to do it. But we've been taught to ignore it. Oh, ignore it. If you don't believe in it, that's not real. It only can happen if you believe in it. And if you don't believe in it, then you good. Where did that nonsense come from? I don't know. That was evil in itself. The greatest antidote that Satan has managed to do is to make people think that he doesn't exist. Because guess what? Then you're not watching for him. Then you're not paying attention. Then you're not armored up. You think, oh, my God, the Lord is good. He made me in his image. And, you know, that's it. That's the end of the story. Well, no, it's not. That was just the beginning of the story. You should have kept reading. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his words and healed all that were sick. That's a mouthful right there. That is a mouthful in verse 16, chapter 8 of Matthew. When the even was come, they brought unto him many. This says many. You know how much is many? A whole lot. Many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with what? It even tells you how to do it. With his word. How do you cast out a devil? With his word. And then it tells you sickness is attached to that. And it says, and healed all that were sick. If you were demon-possessed, you need healing. You needed to cast out the devils, and then you need to be healed. It even tells you how to do it. But why are we ignoring it? It's so common. I see it all the time. It's so easy to spot now. Very, very easy. All you have to do is observe somebody's behavior immediately. Their characteristics change immediately. Their speech changes. Their looks changes. Their eyes change. Their whole temperament changes. Their voice change. Their attitude changes. Everything changes. It's so obvious when you see a person that's possessed, especially if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you'll just say what the world says, oh, she's crazy. Oh, he crazy. Because you're an evil person if you disbelieve. You just like them. You just ain't got one president in your body at the moment. But they already took over your mind. So you just say it doesn't exist, so you don't believe it. What's the point of jumping in you? They already got you where they want you. Not believing. That's enough. They don't need everyone walking around like zombies. Just not believing is enough. Mission accomplished already. Why go any further? Drawing attention to themselves. They already got you. Let's go into, I flagged 28. But I, no, I'm not going to be 28. That's dealing with another thing. Oh, I see what I did. Verse 28. Okay, so yeah, read it again. Verse 28. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. Watch this. Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So we're talking about these ones was kind of bold, right? Verse 29, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now listen to this. That's saying a mouthful. I hope you picked up on it. These devils are asking Jesus, has he come to torment them before the time? That's interesting. That should be very interesting, actually. Let me read it again. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Devils is an S at the end of that, which meant a few of them, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So we're talking about these two so-called powerful devils, right, or two powerful men possessed with devils, exceeding fierce, to the point where nobody passing through, in verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of Man? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Doesn't that sound like to you that they know they are going to be tormented at some point? That's exactly what they're saying. Asking Jesus. What you doing here, Jesus? You come to torment us before you're supposed to? Torment. maybe you need to look up, what is that also saying? One Jesus is way, way more powerful than these many devils, because they ask in this one man, Jesus, did he come to torment them? They didn't try to overpower him. They didn't try to tackle him. Like in of humans, if one man, if, I know one thing, if I was standing with a crew and one person came up that I thought was coming to fight me, even if I was scared, I'm going to look at the rest of the people I'm with and at least try to jump the person, right? That's, isn't that what they do these days when they know that they can't fight or win someone or defeat someone? Don't they just jump them or jump her? And maybe might get a victory from that? That's not what these devils are saying to Jesus. They didn't even try. They asked him right off the bat, have you come to torment us before the time, which means we know you're going to torment us, but have you come a little bit early to do it? In verse 30, and there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away in the herd of swine. Check that out. They pleading with Jesus. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, very simple, go. Come out. They went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. One word from Jesus, a short two-letter word, go. And this is a many demons, demons with an S. I definitely would say Jesus is definitely more powerful than many, many demons all together, standing together. Whether it's a whole army of them, they sound terrified of one Jesus. You need to pick up on this language. Don't just read it. Understand what it's saying. Understand what it's saying. It's crystal clear. It's crystal clear that Jesus is very, very much powerful than these devils, to the point where they thought he was coming to torment them, and to the point where they start bargaining with him. Well, if you come to cast us out, then can you cast us into these pigs over here? He did exactly what they asked for. Go. Also, what you need to pick up on is Jesus actually demonstrated what I had just read to you previously on how to cast them out with his word. Pick up on the language with his word. If you have demon possession around you or in you or in someone you know, you must use words to cast it out. Pick up on the language. Pick up on the language. Look at verse 33. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. This word started spreading fast. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of this coast. You still don't believe in it? Been here the whole time. But you're ignoring it. But you're ignoring it. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Look how common this was and still is. Everywhere he goes, someone is being brought to him possessed with devils that need healing. Everywhere he was going as well. Everywhere he was going, someone is there in need to be healed or demons cast out of them. Imagine that. But we were taught to ignore it. Ignore it. I don't know. God bless them if they really thought that. If not, shame on you for teaching us to ignore it and not using the scriptures on how to armor up regarding it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Imagine that. You're being possessed with a devil, and you're blind and you're dumb. But there was still healing for him as well. Imagine that. And how do you heal? With words. With his words. Keep that in mind. With his words. Don't lose the language here. I don't want you to think any of this is my opinion. I'm showing you. I'm reading scriptures. None of it is my opinion. I'll let you know when it's my opinion. I haven't given you my opinion yet. I don't know what this... I don't know why... That very bad step has been taught, but it is very ignorant, especially in the spirit world, especially being a believer to teach that demon possession is not real and that no one of today gets demon possessed, etc. That is definitely an error, a very bad error. False doctrine, but, you know. Were they aware of the error? I don't know. If they were, woe unto them. Let's read Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And then what happened? And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Check that out. Check that out. Isn't that interesting? That interesting. This says, demons knew Jesus and recognized his authority. In reference to Acts chapter 19, 15. We'll go there in a second. Acts, let me write that down. 19, 15. Perhaps the demon sought to show acquaintance with Jesus to discredit him and make it appear that he was in league with the demon world. But Jesus put an end to this by casting him out, thus proving that he was their enemy and showing that he had power over them. Isn't that something? Yeah, you wouldn't know them. Yeah, they were all in heaven at one point, remember? I read to you in Revelation chapter 12. Yeah, of course they know Jesus. Of course. They do. Yeah, that's why they were scared of him. That's why they knew what he could do. This was not no mystery man walking the face of the earth. They knew exactly who he was and exactly what he was capable of doing. And was terrified of him because of it. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse, I flag 15. Yeah. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Let's back it up to Mark chapter 5. Let's go to verse 1. Let's back it up. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with the chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by the God, excuse me, by God, that thou torment me not. Verse 8, For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter in. So you see what's going on? This is giving a more in-depth story about the swine that I just read to you in Matthew. Mark is giving a little more detail in depth. Okay, you need to pay attention to the language. Now, how did he? You pay attention to how Jesus is casting out devils. If you don't get anything else, get that. That's what the show is about. How do you? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 8. Mark chapter 5, verse 8. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Case closed. That's it. You don't need any special rituals. Open your mouth and speak the word. Remember, you're in Christ. Remember, you're a joint heir of Christ. You can have and do exactly what Christ did, and he even said, and do greater works. So what did he do to cast out? Just used words. And you're a joint heir, which means they must obey your voice, the language he used. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. If someone is around you that you suspect may be demon-possessed, act like they are. And just say, come out of him. Now, because you are not Jesus, you have to say in Jesus' name. Because you are not Jesus. You can say what Jesus said. You can have what Jesus has. You can do what Jesus do. But because you are not Jesus, you must say in the name of Jesus. Bear that in mind, please. Okay? And it is just as if Jesus said it. If one is getting a little bit more aggressive with you, what did Jesus do? And asked him his name. And he answered him, his name is Legion, for we are many. Okay, in the end, he casted them in the swine. They ran in you know the rest of the story. I just read it to you. But keep mindful of the language and how to cast out devils. It's very, very simple. You don't need to go to a witch doctor. You don't need to buy all these expensive items that they may tell you need and I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, maybe I watch too much movies, but I don't know how they what they do on that voodoo world and witchcraft. But from what I can understand, it's very expensive stuff. You need to buy this, and you need to buy that, and you need to do this, and click your heels 3 times. You know, they got a whole bunch of rituals and steps that is they do. And not only if it, is it in vain and ignorant and stupid, it's also very expensive. When all you need to do is open your mouth and say, come out of the man, or come out of the woman, or come out of me, thou unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus. That's it. Very simple. That's it. But you rather ignore it. And believe me when I tell you, I've done it. I'm not just giving you lip service. It is impossible to be a follower of my show and didn't hear me speak about that a few times, about casting out demons. Yeah, it's very simple. It's very, very simple. Very, very simple. Go to Luke's chapter 8. I flagged verse 36. They also, which saw it, told them by what means that he was, they should be able to prove in two or more story, you know, witnesses, I should say. Well, there it is. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse 30 starts, and he asked them, what is the name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. So, see? Many devils. And what was it? Didn't even dent Jesus' emotions. Jesus wasn't scared. He didn't say, oh, I'll be back. He didn't say, oh, go let me get the Bible. He was simply prepared to open his mouth and say, come out of him. Now, because we're not Jesus and we're doing it in Jesus' name, that's it. That's it. That's it. Very, very, I'm not going to say simple, very, very available. It's like having an automatic rifle readily available to you, loaded with bullets and ready to go. And the minute someone steps up to harm you, you just pick it up, put it back down. Done. That's how this word of God is, a weapon. But you don't treat it as such because you don't know that. How are you going to use something if you don't know what it is? Acts chapter 8. let's start in verse 6. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, all these. And that were lame were healed. See, I just keep saying many, many were possessed. Many were possessed. Why are we ignoring this? Many was possessed. Are you guarded up? Do you have the whole armor on? Acts chapter 16. Verse 16, certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by doing what? Soothsaying. Okay? The same followed Paul and us, and crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I mean, I can go on and go on. I didn't want to. I'm not getting to the story, I'm just telling you. And it came to pass, this is verse 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of Medus, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Okay. That's basically like a witch. Practicing that stuff, soothsaying and all that. Okay. That is called, that's called, where's my other notes? I have notes on that as well. Because there's different tactics the enemy uses. That, what just was described in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, is called infestation. That means the trait that the enemy uses is the power and free will of the individual. That's called infestation. Witchcraft, Wicca, satanic rituals, mediums, Ouija boards, things like that is dealing with the infestation part of it, meaning you are willingly tapping in, if you will, okay? And Acts 16 is an example of infestation, okay? That's a trait of being demon-possessed, the infestation. Get familiar. Well, don't get familiar with it. I'm trying to show you the different strategies involved here because they all are the same, which is yielding to the devil, but I'm giving you the breakdown so you can be aware, okay? So you can be aware. So, again, infestation is dealing with the power and free will of the individual. Witchcraft, Wicca, voodoo, Santeria, any kind of satanic rituals, being a medium or Ouija board, etc. I'm going to write this. I think opium. Somewhere, I mean, there's so many. I really can't keep up with it. But it's a bunch of infestation traits that the enemy will use to possess the body. And it would be intentional coming from the human. And Acts chapter 16, verse 16 is an example of that. Okay, so anything that I'm reading, bear in mind is I'm not trying to teach about fearing or being afraid or anything to do with that nature. So please don't take it that way or misunderstand the purpose of the show. The purpose is to make you aware of it, and second of all, tell you what to do about it. Because I, too, used to think, okay, you know, well, if you don't believe in it, then, you know, it won't happen to you. Anything they believe in will happen to you. And until it hit my house, then I had a problem. Okay? I had a problem I didn't know I had. Another trait to this possession is oppression. That's when the enemy takes hold of the victim. Those are the victims that will give him the least amount of resistance. They're easily deceived. They're usually hopeless people. And they're not people also that are not in touch with their emotions. I guess heartbroken people would fall under this. Somebody that has lost a dead relative. Someone very, very close to them passing away. The enemy can enter by that and by the trait of oppression. He can take hold of them just from that state of mind that there's going to be a least amount of resistance. He'll usually send someone, see, what kind of God would take your relative? What kind of God would take your mom or your dad or your grandmother? You know, you're a little kid. You know, he'll play with their spirit and mind, entertain that, and next thing you know, he's taking hold over that victim. Okay? Not really infestation because it's like the infestation is dealing with the person going and seeking this their own free will. Oppression is a little bit different. He's actually taken hold of the victim. And then there's possession, which is what we're discussing today, where he actually takes control over the victim. Okay, and to a degree, he does need the human's free will, except for with possession now, there are outlets. Be aware of the outlets. There's a few outlets, and God warns us of each outlet. Again, that too was kind of overlooked. The outlets that can be used for fear, deception, sitting in hate, jealousy, having a lack, drugs, an invitation, and alcohol. Those are just some of the outlets that can be used for demon possession. Sex is a high one. It's a big one, especially now with, you know, every girl on girl, guy on guy, and all these orgies and everything's being glorified, because that too is something called incubus and succubus, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But it's a form of demon possession that can be transferred right through sex. Be careful who you sleep with. This is definitely a season to start practicing abstinence and celibacy if you haven't already. Because they, like I said, the devil was desperate and beefing up then, way back, how many years ago, when Jesus was on the scenes. Imagine the desperation now that we are in the last days. Imagine his desperation. So you gotta really be on the lookout. It's not a fear tactic. It's make armor up tactic. To get you to armor up. To get us to armor up. And don't ignore it. Okay? Okay, so for those that are not familiar, and that would have the question, well, what is possession? It's to have as belonging to one, own, have complete power over someone and be manifested through their speech or actions, to have control over, to dominate, to influence. Even some of the definitions from the Strong Concordance was to inherit, to destroy, to dispossess, drive out, heir, impoverish, make poor, new owners, occupy, rule, or siege are all various definitions of possessed. We are dealing with the one that is being in control and dominating someone's mortal body. Okay, in case you were not aware of that. That is actually the enemy is in your mortal body. And if you say you don't believe it, then that's your business as well. But it is very real, whether you believe it or not. And this enemy that has great wrath has the strategies that's being used these days. It's like, oh boy, really? You know, he's going after children. He's going after the children. They're playing a game in school called, I'm not going to say the name, because apparently just saying the name invites the demon in. But the game is actually called C-H-A-R-L-I-E. Don't take my word for it. Ask a child that's 10 or below, and I can almost guarantee you he or she will have heard of the game, if not played the game. Knows someone that has. That's how common it is. And it is also very real. And supposedly all you need is a piece of paper and a pencil. And you can call in evil spirits. So, you sure you want to keep ignoring this enemy? Are you sure? Okay. The question may be, okay, so what do we do? What do we do? Well, again, go back to Luke. Amongst other things, speaking the word and all that, what else do we do? Luke, go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 tells us what to do, amongst other things. Let's start right in verse 8. Well, let's start in verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And verse 8, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not be a hair of your head perish. And then number 19 is the best thing. In your patience possess ye your souls. So outside of speaking the word, you have to possess your soul. What does that mean? Take ownership and be in control of your soul as well as your flesh. Be in control at all times. You possess your soul. That means you dominate your soul. If you are already dominating and possessing your soul, protecting it, having it under submission, etc., how can you get possessed then? Think about it. You must remain in control at all times. Stay in control of your emotions, your body. Okay? At all times. The minute you slip up, you're going to have a problem with the enemy. Because he has great wrath. Remember, it's not my words. It's not my words. It's not my words. It's just the way it is. And in the beginning, well, let's go really quick to Psalms 139. In the beginning, this was already done. Look at Psalm 139. Verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. We were already taken control over and all this other stuff. So all that stuff is already done. You need to keep that in mind. So the stuff is already done. Now the only question is don't let possess. That's what's happening. God has already, if you read the beginning of Psalm 139, all this stuff is, you know, you ever heard of the finished works of Jesus? Everything is already done. All you need to do is speak the word, the correct word, use the correct names, and resist. Some steps here. There's some steps involved here. Okay? There's some steps involved here. Because why? God already possessed us. The Holy Spirit is there for. That was supposed to be our possession. If you were a believer, you're supposed to be possessed with the Holy Spirit. So if you're possessed with the Holy Spirit, why do you think those demons ain't jumping Jesus? Why not? They couldn't. He was armored up. All he ever did and said about my father's business, about kingdom business. He stayed armored up all day. When the temptation, he resisted. When the temptation came, he resisted. You think that was the only temptation that came Jesus' way? Of course not. That's the only temptation. I'm not going to say the only. Scripture is not about temptation of Jesus. It's about a bunch of things. But you know pretty much all day he was being tempted of other things. and he always resisted. So if you're trying to be like Christ, keep that in mind as well. Resist the devil and he will flee. Okay, so let's, what else now? So we discussed infestation, oppression, and possession. I have some more things I want to say about possession. Because some people may say, well, how would I know if someone is possessed? Or how would I know if my children are possessed, or my child, or me, or my husband, or my wife? How would I know? Well, you need to know these few things. Person will be being controlled by the demonic entity. That could be seen with the naked eye if you just pay attention. Usually people like that get considered, like if they get committed to the nut house and stuff like that, because people they don't want to address that it's just demon possession. They don't want to talk about that. But how will you know? You can see it. And if you're not too familiar with what you're looking at, you need to know that the enemy takes control over the victim. So listen to see, look and pay attention to see if that person has kind of, I'm not going to say lost control of their own bodies, but you should be able to see it. You need to understand about possession is the enemy does still need the human's free will. As the person, have they given the enemy their free will? Or have they submitted their will to the enemy? They may be aware of it. They may not be. Okay, it could be just something like a simple song they're singing. Okay, a lot of these lyrics and stuff like that, you got to be careful with these lyrics. Maybe they sung their way into possession. I don't know. These are just things to be mindful of. Ask yourself, did the victim give in? Some people just give up the fighting and just, you know, submit. Is that what happened? I wrote down, act crazy. You will notice some characteristic changes about the enemy. Usually they around their eyes will look pretty dark, worn off makeup, maybe. You can kind of tell. You should, you know, you'd be able to tell. The pupils will expand. Their pupils will be expanded if they're possessed. Strong. Their strength will increase. They'll be very, very strong. If you're fighting with somebody that's possessed, they will be extremely strong. That's a way to tell. Their speech will be changed. Their speech will definitely change. Pay attention to that. Is it that person's voice, or does it sound like something else in their voice? Is it something the person always says, or is it some strange things the person's never said before? Also, a way to tell if somebody is possessed, they'll know things about you that they should not. Why? The devil is in the spiritual realm. He does know certain things about you. He doesn't know everything like God. He's not an all-knowing devil, but he does know things about you. So bear that in mind. So if someone's possessed, they'll have bad memory. They probably won't even be conscious of their behavior after the spiritual entity leaves them. They probably won't even have no recollection of what was going on. No control. They won't have any control over themselves, depending on how bad they are possessed. Yeah. So, actually, guys, I'm at work, so I have to end the show early. I have some things I have to do. I really, really apologize. Please stay tuned to next week. Sorry about that. I try to jump in the shows without having to cancel. But please stay tuned to part two next week. We'll get more into in depth about it and what exactly, you know, we'll get into more step by steps of what to do. Since this is so powerful, we need to just grab it by the horn and tackle it. So thank you so much for joining today. And again, I do apologize. I have to end the show early. But stay tuned to part two next week. We just we just touched over the surface. There's way more to learn and know about demon possession. So stay tuned to next week. With that, over and out.